This is Capital Forum's RBN's inquisitive side of Sunday. And
later, after they are done. Okay, is Tom on? Okay. Let Sergey know he'll be on the second hour. Oh, can I start? Good morning, everybody. This is the Capital Forum. I didn't even know we were on the air. We're trying something new today. Well, we had some listeners who had made some comments and talked and would call, and they had what's the good idea? Good ideas, and they continued telling us about some good ideas to do, and continued telling us good ideas, and they knew all about all the news and what have you. So, guess what? We are having a fun time with a group called the News Walkers. Now, is James and Chris there? Good morning. Is James and Chris there? Okay, I don't hear anyone. Are we on the air?
James. Hello.
Yeah, you gotta speak up, James.
Speak up, I'm here.
All right, and is Chris there?
You hear me?
I hear you, Chris. Is Tom there?
I'm getting Tom now.
Okay, getting Tom now. Are we on the air?
Yes.
Okay, we're on the air. This is something new today, guys. Okay. Chris and Tom, you guys had some good ideas, and you guys were the news commentators of the, what do you want to call it? The Pointy Hat Group. In fact, this is really funny, James, because I get to say this one. Now Chris has his own tinfoil hat.
All right. I have my own tinfoil hat, oh boy.
You have your own tinfoil hat. Okay, well, there's a joke to that, because evidently Chris had a little problem with tinfoil hats. Well, guess what? You got your own now. Now, well, I'm going to turn it over to you guys. We'll get a hold of Tom and whatever. We're having a little technical difficulties, but you guys are going to first let everybody know who you are, okay, and explain that one of the things you're going to be doing is covering current events for the Capital Forum. So you guys are still listening to Capital Forum, but this is the News Walkers, part of the Capital Forum. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you guys. But remember, on the second hour, we get to go back over everything you've done and said.
All right.
And we can resharpen our tinfoil hats.
Well, it's always helpful to make sure you got a good point on that tinfoil hat.
That's right. That's right. Okay, you guys, go ahead. It's all yours this morning. Start
right.
Talking.
Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you very much. Well, my name is Chris, and I'm originally from Missouri, and now I'm in Kansas. And I don't know, I just had a lot of interest in preparedness, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit with everyone. I've been doing it for a long time. Right now is a good time to talk about gardening, I'm thinking, because it's that time of year. So
we're
going over a little
break.
Bit of this morning.
You guys, you're going to have to wait just a second. We're going to come to a break real quick, and you can hear the music. Since you've not done this before, when the music's on, that means we're having a break. We'll be right back. This is Capital Forum, and this is the News Walkers.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the problem. product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Get ready. With the Siskel and Ebert of freedom. And Tom's on now. Say hi, Tom.
Good morning, everybody.
So we're going to disappear, and you guys are going to go at it. And when you're done, then we get to go at it. So be good. Come out fighting.
All right. Sounds like a good idea.
Sounds like a great idea. Well, on this side of it, because we see Chris could go, this is James and I. I'm born and raised in Missouri. I've grown up in the state my whole life, so I've come to the freedom movement about 4 or 5 years ago and been involved with lots of different things. I have a wide background of all kinds of different stuff as far as prepping and just general survivability stuff. So that's kind of some of the background that in the to bring to the show a little bit. If you want to get off into the current topic, anything there, Chris? I was just looking at an interesting article that I picked up off of Drudge where it's talking about John Boehner saying the lead article right on Drudge right now, it says winning. So maybe it's like, is he really like Charlie Sheen? He's winning. Well, the only thing he's got to go for him is he's actually he's got past his first budget cycle.
Yeah, that's true. Winning, I guess, is in the eye of the beholder there. He's passed some things, but I really don't agree with a lot of what he's trying to do right now.
I really don't think that, the whole last week we were listening about to the fact that, oh, the government's going to shut down. I don't know if anybody recalls, but we go through this about every year or every 6 months, because even now, way they've passed the budget, we're going to be looking at this again in September, where they're going to be going, oh, we're running out of money, we're going to have to shut things down.
Well, like we all know, we just basically kicked the tin can down the road and really don't take care of what we need to take care of.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure everyone's ready to take care of it. That's the problem. It's going to require...
Nobody ever wants to get that skeleton out of the closet and kick it or fix it. It's always the same thing. Okay, we're going to pass the budget through here and make sure we have enough money to go through another 6 months.
Right. And from what I've seen, the items that they're really trying to work on right now isn't going to make a dent in the budget, really. So we get some real numbers on there. We're just going to be doing the same thing we've always done. And I guess it's been going on for several years, decades, really. And hopefully it won't go on for more decades, but I have a feeling it probably will.
Yeah, I agree.
I also, this morning... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I saw that there were... I know we didn't really have any storms last night, but apparently there were some storms around last night. Did you see that town got hit pretty hard with those tornadoes?
I actually did not hear. It was quiet here the night before. We had tons of thunder, but nothing really raining. It was really weird.
Yeah, we didn't really have anything in it, but I guess up in Iowa, I think it was that. The town got hit pretty hard by some tornadoes and pretty much smashed the town. They called it a disaster for it. And no one got hurt as far as I'm aware of, but it brings up a good reason to have some stuff in your house for when your power goes out, when your food goes out, you can't get food and all that kind of stuff as well. So you should always have a plan for those kind of emergencies, and you never know when they're going to happen. Sometimes it's not always the end of the world emergency, it's just a storm coming through.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think when we get into the preparedness idea of the whole thing, it's one of those things that you need to test your storage ability, or at least even your evacuation or any kind of preparedness that you already have in place. Like, you need to probably go through once or twice a year, pull the main power on your house, and just say, okay, we don't have any power. How are we going to survive?
That's right. If you don't test it, it's almost like not having it. I mean, you can have it all in your mind, but until you actually run through it, it's a whole different ballgame. Actually, it's all like this. This is an interesting new experience for me. And, when you're looking at it from the outside, it seems fairly easy and straightforward, but when you start doing it, it's a lot harder than it looks or sounds.
Absolutely, I agree, because it's kind of been one of those nerving mornings trying to get ready for everything.
Yep, that's correct.
So
I know. Go ahead.
I was going to just continue along with the topic there on the forest idea. It's a good idea to kind of have some kind of plan as far as food storage. At least if you're going to say, like, I'm going to my house or at least my immediate vicinity. Maybe I'm in a neighborhood where all the houses around me are wiped out, but I still have a house, so that means probably the water's out, power's out. Kind of similar like what they had down in Arkansas a couple years ago with the ice storm. Nobody really had the house away, but they lost power and stuff for several weeks.
Yeah, that was actually an extended period of time on that one.
Yeah.
So
the idea is to have food storage for... 30 days would be great, because most of the time you're not going to go past that.
Right.
The better idea is, can you store food for a year or more? You never know. I mean, with today's economy and the way food prices are going, you may want to live off your food storage until the food prices come down.
Well, that's true. It's a good hedge against inflation. I mean, it's probably the best hedge against inflation, really. I think it's even more important than gold and silver, but I'm sure that is not the most...
Absolutely. I mean, it's like you and I have talked before. I can't eat that piece of gold.
No.
I could probably open a can of beans on my shelf.
I can always eat my food that I have, but metal doesn't taste so good, that's for sure. So do you have any storage going on right now in your own home?
Well, interestingly enough, I'm probably the one that's in the I need to do that mode. We have food in different parts of the house that really has no organization to it, so we kind of really don't know what we have. So we need to kind of go back to build some storage shelves. The idea is put some storage in the basement, store up the, put the cans on, the big cans, or even the little cans of beans and whatever it is. That's the interesting, another interesting topic is store what you like or store what you eat.
Yeah,
a lot of times you get a lot of this idea, well, you need to just buy a bunch of bulk food. Well, I buy a bulk. If I'm buying in bulk, I probably want to buy what I want to eat. not
right.
a bunch of stuff I would never eat.
Yeah, store to eat, you know, eat at your store.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, if you get a box of MREs, for instance, you never know what you're going to get in a box of MREs or a case of MREs. It's always kind of a hodgepodge mixture of it. And if ignoring my luck, since I don't eat pork, I would probably get a whole case full of pork if I ordered the thing online. So my thing is I like the MRE idea. It's a great thing to do. It's just most of the time it's going to end up being, it could end up being stuff I wouldn't eat. I'd have to go put it over in the barter pile.
Right. Well, barter pile is important. That's true. You can definitely, you should have some stuff for that. Not only barter, but sometimes it's not you that needs the food. It might be your neighbor because their house burned down or something of that nature. And you can help them out. Just a little bit goes a long ways as far as comfort items. Even candy bars, something like that for the kids. That kind of stuff, it all makes you, kind of brings back to reality and lets you forget about the stress a little bit. And in a situation like that, stress is definitely going to be high, that's for sure. That's, again, why you plan it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, in a high stressful situation, the first thing you should think about is food and how you're going to survive, and usually that's not the thing you think about. Oh, my house gone, and you start panicking about a lot of that stuff.
Right. Well, I know this time of year is starting to warm it up. Everything's getting nicer, and here at my house, I have been preparing my raised beds. I know you talked about, I think you have a fairly decent-sized garden at your own house.
Yeah, we actually have two beds, and now I was filling up the other day for a third bed for strawberries. So, yeah, I don't do the raised bed. I just do a regular flat garden.
I have pretty good luck with my strawberries. I do them as well, and that's the – it's another – well, we can talk about this in a second here, but you don't always have to put them in beds or in what you think of as traditional gardening. At least I don't. Sometimes I incorporate them into my landscaping, and strawberries happens to be one instance of that. I have a few berms in my backyard that it's just there for screening, really, but I try to make it look as nice as I can. And I had space there that had mulch before, and I didn't really, I mean, you can't really do anything with mulch. And so I started planting strawberries in there. And now I have pretty much a berm covered in strawberry plants. Now, mine are the early bearing, so they pretty much produce at one time in a large amount, and then they go out. But I've been beginning to try to plant some of the ever-bearing as well, so I can have a few throughout the year. And surprisingly enough, at least where I live, I don't have pest problems with it. I don't have bird problems. I mean, birds don't eat it. Bugs don't really bother them. It's actually a pretty good thing.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. It's kind of one of those space management things, right? You've taken over a spot
right.
in your yard that really has no other purpose. And
exactly.
Useful.
Right, and I don't have a lot of space in the, I mean, I live in the suburbs, and I have a little, just your standard lot. For me, that actually lets me expand my gardening potential, and I enjoy it. It's a thing to get rid of stress, and plus, fresh food's nice, and recently, after going to the grocery store and seeing a head of lettuce for $2, I'm kind of glad I do gardening now.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a stress reliever. You get out there and get away from the grind of the office every day, so you can kind of de-stress yourself and get back into the nature aspect of life and just be outdoors. It's just a healthy thing all the way around.
Right. So have you been preparing your gardens then, you said?
Yes, we actually have. Our entire kitchen table is full of bedding plants. We've started all of our stuff from seed this year. One caveat is I bought some actual strawberry plants. I don't remember if they were everberry or the other variety, because when I bought them at the store, they had them in a box. And I basically had to pull out individual plants by themselves and come home. Sounds like we're going into a break here.
It does sound that way.
We're coming to a break.
If you've ever used Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella for birth control, you must listen to this important notice. The FDA says these drugs may cause serious heart and health problems. If you or a loved one took Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella and developed any complications, these pills may be to blame. Call Phillips National Injury Group to protect your rights. If you suspect these drugs may have caused a serious injury, this announcement is for you and your family. Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella may cause deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary heart attack, stroke, or even death. If so, you or your family may be entitled to significant compensation.
For legal help with the effects of Yaz, Yasmin, and Ocella, call the Phillips National Injury Group at 800-358-8063. That's 800-358-8063. Injured by Yaz, Yasmin, and Ocella? Call 800-358-8063. Attorney responsible for this advertisement is Phillips National Injury Group with offices at 20 East Thomas Road, Suite 2600, 26th floor, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Admitted in Arizona and California. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, cases of this type may be referred to local counsel for principal responsibility. This is an advertisement and a paid announcer.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited...
Let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan. Or is it a state?
We are back.
Of my.
And this is the Capital Forums version of Siskel and Ebert Meets Freedom. This is James and Chris.
And by the way,
than, go ahead.
Lou, this is Tom and Louise that are still online. I'm getting calls wondering where the show is at.
For those
people that are listening, I think our show's been hijacked here. But
yeah, I've been getting the same thing, by the way. I've got a whole bunch of text messages and emails. We're still here. This is our news portion of the program. We're trying a little something, and this is James, and this is Chris, and they're the news walkers. So they're going to be, to start off with, twice a month on the early hour, bringing us a little bit about the news, what's going on in the, I can't say normal part of the world, because there's no such thing. Okay. But, you know, it's, giving us a little bit of different perspective. James here and Chris are listeners who have listened to the show. And James said, you know what? We talk about this all the time, Chris and I. Right? You know what I heard all the time, James?
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, and they had solutions. Solutions-based. So we're giving them a shot to give us some solutions to problems.
Yeah, why don't you gentlemen put out your website? You have a blog spot, so if people want to check out your solutions, go ahead and give that out now.
Can I go into that, James, there?
Yeah.
Basically.
The blogspot website is newswalker.blogspot.com.
Say that a little louder because it kind of faded out.
It's the newswalker.blogspot.com is the website, and email is thenewswalker@yahoo.com.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to let you take over, and for now, we're going to hold calls, any calls, till the next hour where we're going to get to go back and say how you guys did and what's the future. Oh, yeah, I'm sharpening that tinfoil hat now.
So we end up being critiqued in the second hour. That's interesting. Right. We're trying to critique, everything, and then we're going to end up getting critiqued ourselves.
Oh, okay, not sure. Dim. It's a little fun thing here. We're going to see what we got. So we're going to turn it back over to James and to Chris. You're on.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like we said, Chris and I had kicked around the idea a few times. We actually work in the same office, cubicles across the hall from each other. So we answer back and forth on different ideas on stuff, and freedom topics and new topics and Bible topics. Stuff just comes up all the time, and it's amazing. I mean, even people coming by our desk seem to bring the topics to us. So,
oh, yes.
So it's always interesting in our little office. So back to the strawberry patch and food storage.
Right.
The house I was living at before, I had actually created a little raised bed for strawberries, and that really did good. I've actually had I had better luck there with the strawberry bed than I have had here at this house. This house I always have an overtaking of foxtail and crabgrass that I just can't ever seem to get ahead of.
Yeah, that's where the raised beds will definitely come in advantage. You can control the weeds so much easier there. And as you've noticed, strawberries are almost like a weed themselves. They'll spread so fast that if you have them contained, it's easier to control them.
Absolutely. You get them in the bed and they just run, put runners down, and they just go and go. And here in my house, we actually got a little mini garden started on our kitchen table. We've got all the bedding plants started. We started them from seed. We go out and get the heirloom seeds and stuff like that, and plant them in the peat pots and get them going before we stick them outside. It's kind of one of our anti-GMO things where we know we've kind of controlled this plant from the seed that we bought at the store that it's an heirloom seed, or you know, wherever we've kind of happened across the seed. My wife's even known to go and take seeds from plants she's bought at the store. Like, went to Whole Foods and bought a squash and took the seeds out of it, and we grew that squash that year in the garden. It's easy to do stuff like that, is to harvest seeds from the fruit of the plants and then take them out and create your own garden from that same plant. It's kind of a see the whole circle of life in how that's done.
Yeah, it's amazing how that actually works that way.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the other idea was we were at the state fair one year here in Missouri. I'm sure other state fair probably has a similar thing. There's a section there where it was kind of a local grown kind of an idea, local area, local Missouri. And then one of the little guys in there was all heirloom stuff. So we had heirloom tomatoes and heirloom strawberries and all kinds of different fruits and vegetables and stuff in there. And the varieties you had in the tomatoes, I didn't do it at the time, but I went after we left. I thought I should have bought some of those tomatoes and brought them home. Yeah, they probably wouldn't have survived the trip home in the hot car, but I would have had all these heirloom seeds I could have taken out of the fruit of the tomato, and then I would have had all those seeds I could have grown my own plant.
Right, that's a good idea, actually. I should do that. Just as a background, we're trying to keep it a little calm today as well. James and I usually do banter quite a bit, but for our first show, we thought we'd pretty much keep it straightforward and go over a topic that's pretty non-controversial.
And you're listening to RBN on republicbroadcasting.org. And
this is the Capitol Forum. Remind them.
Please support the sponsors. You're listening to RBN, and it is a sponsor-driven and listener-driven program, so please hand out the business cards. You can get them 100 in your mailbox for $8. So we'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The because you can handle the truth.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendovite. To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
They burned the Constitution. It doesn't mean anything today. We live in a mental institution.
We are back, and this is the Capital Forum. So all you guys don't think, oh my, Capital Forum's not on. Yes, it is. We have a little spot that we're putting in here for once in a while, and this is called the News Walker program. They are news with, let's say, news with views and a twist.
There you
so
go.
Right now we're talking about getting ready for emergencies, and we know this is the time we have to put in our gardens and what have you. So remember, I want to hear some cutworm dignitaries here. So it's back to you guys. This is Chris and James for our news segment. Go, boys.
All right. Thanks. Well, again, we're discussing preparing. Basically, today is gardening, but that's because it goes with food storage. And after you grow it, you need to store it. And now myself, for storing fresh vegetables, I really don't do that a lot. I'm more into the, I buy the things at town, like the beans and stuff like that, and store it. But I have tried to dry my beans and store it. It's just I don't have the space in my house or my yard to actually grow enough plants to be able to do that. Potatoes are an easy one to get a lot of bounty out of. But other than that, I really don't have the space to do it. So I pretty much go the alternate route of going to the grocery store and getting the food to store for my house. James, do you actually have enough space to do that kind of stuff at your house, or would you consider that pretty much a eating garden as well?
More of an eating garden. the idea is to kind of have enough that we could store some. We've actually canned up tomatoes and cucumbers and stuff in the previous years, and that works out really well. It's all in the equipment, though. You really need the right kind of equipment to get started canning. You got to buy a lot of jars, and the jars aren't really all that expensive. If you go down to your local hardware store, whatever, and pick out small canning jars or whatever flavor your preference is, and you bring them home and you mash them up and sterilize them. You go through the efforts of cooking down like tomatoes and whatnot, put them in there, put them in a liquid bath, bring them up to temperature, and they seal.
Yep.
It's a simple process, but like I say, you got to have old equipment up front to get it going. And it, you know, the other thing was like green beans. Green beans are probably the easiest thing to grow. You need quite a few plants in the garden to get a lot of plants to store up into canning. And the thing about canning something like a green bean is you kind of got to cook it before you can it. Or canning it is part of the process of cooking it, like with a pressure cooker. And I don't have a pressure cooker because those things are a little bit pricey. I don't know if you have one.
I do have one. They range in price. Some are not, some are high. So it just depends on what type. CP equipment on and things like that. I have an old one that I've had for years and years and years. I'm sure they're better now, but I do agree. They work wonders. If you don't have one, everybody, you need to get one. There, read how to use it, but you will love it after you get it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's a scary process when you think about, well, it's the steam that you're creating in a vessel that you have on your stove in your house that it could explode. I mean, anybody that's seen the Mythbusters special about the water heater, you can understand how much pressure is behind that thing.
You want to definitely read the instructions, but they save so much time. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. And this food preparedness in general, you have, you're going to have some expense. But at the same time, like you said, you go down to the grocery store every day to buy fresh produce, you're going to have expense there versus if I'm growing it in my garden, I really haven't spent anything on the plant, but I have spent some money on the equipment to store it. The other thing we do a little bit of is we do dehydrate from plants and stuff, and store those in the freezer or whatnot. We also have a vacuum packer that we vacuum pack fresh stuff and throw that in the freezer. So fresh garden stuff out of the freezer in January is, you know, it just kind of makes you remember back of what it was like to grow that thing in the middle of summer, or the pains of growing that in the middle of summer. I don't know how you have at your house, but I tend to have bugs that like a lot of my plants.
Right. That's for sure. I kind of look at my type of garden is more like a victory garden, if you remember those things in the past. Not the TV show, although I think it's actually based off the same name, but I think we call them freedom gardens now or whatever. But basically, it's a food garden. It's a small garden that can provide additional food to my table, and I don't have to go buy it. And the price of food is getting crazy out there. I don't know if it's going to come down. I know the last rumor why it was so high, besides, obviously, no one really talks about the oil price, but it's because the freeze they had in Mexico, and that basically destroyed a lot of produce. So prices were going up. I know tomatoes where I'm at, they were basically $5 a pound. Now, that fluctuates a little bit, but it stays right around there a lot. And I'm not going to a fancy grocery store. This is a price dropper pretty much. So I don't know. Like I said, lettuce was $2 a head. I hope this stuff doesn't stay, but prices tend to be sticky, so we'll see what comes this summer, but I want to make sure I'm going to try to expand my raised beds a little bit this year and try to get some more stuff going into it.
Yeah, usually you see a lot of fluctuation in the price of produce. Depends on the season. If it's in season, you'll have a bump of crop and then it'll be really cheap. That's the way food's always gone. I mean,
right.
I remember when I was a kid, my grandparents had a farm, and we lived by the commodity prices of the beans and corn and everything, and it fluctuated all year round. Now you don't really see it fluctuate as much, whereas I don't know that anybody had ever predicted that we'd have $4 corn because we have to have an alternative fuel source there.
Right, which I'm not a big fan of, as you well know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think we should use a food product for a fuel product. I'd rather get a different form of fuel than use our food for it. Just doesn't seem to make sense, especially since a lot of the world actually uses that as a main food source. And I think we saw riots down in Mexico over that as well a few years ago. So, yeah, why? There's got to be something better than that. If we have to have ethanol, fine, but how about something like switchgrass versus corn?
witchcraft, or what was the topic in the office the other day was kudzu. Boy, there's a solution.
All right.
Kudzu in the South. Well, yeah, let's turn it into ethanol.
Yeah. Now, people who don't know what that is, kudzu is like a viney product, and I think it came from Asia originally, but it is a invasive plant that once it gets started, it will grow crazy, up to a foot or more a day. And like James was saying, one of our coworkers there said they used to grow it intentionally and feed it to their cows. And it actually had the second highest nutritional rate after alfalfa. And I had no idea that. That's crazy. I can't believe it's that actually nutritious. But nowadays, of course, we try to get rid of it. But I'm thinking there might be something there to that, James. Maybe that could be incorporated into some kind of a source of energy or something.
Well, absolutely. I don't think after President Bush brought up the switchgrass farm or whatever, I haven't really seen any of those pop up anywhere. I don't know about you. But
yeah.
I'm guessing that's not really taking off like anybody had expected it to.
No, of course, there's probably almost zero money involved in that. But, yes, I have not seen any of those around.
Well, I mean, it kind of goes along the lines. Like I said, I grew up on helping out on the farm, and we used to mow hay every year. And there's no money in hay bales. The time of the year when hay bales are our high dollar commodity is in the middle of January when they've been in the barn for 6 months almost now. And some of the nutritional factors of them have gone down because they've been stored in the barn. But kind of the way you have to live to keep the cows going all winter. And at the same time, you've got that hay bale in the barn, and now, oh, hey, maybe I can sell it for ethanol purpose. Well, it's not really going to have the same value there either. So, yeah, there's no money in it. So it's one of those things that's kind of like if you can put some price on it and make it worthwhile, people probably then jump on it.
Right. Yeah, for me, ethanol is just I'm not a fan. Sorry, guys, not a fan of it. There's got to be something better than that. Just, I don't want to use my food source for that. And, you know, the world population is growing by a lot every year, and it's going to get harder to feed people, that's for sure. As people are moving to cities, you don't see usually mass exodus the other way. It's usually towards the suburbs and things. China's coming online. A lot of people are coming from, the farms and going to the cities to work. Well, someone's got to feed all these people, and it's going to get harder and harder. So now's the time to learn how to do some of the stuff yourself. Now's the time to learn how to barter with your friends. You know, hey, for instance, I don't grow watermelons here. I love them. I don't grow them. And I don't grow them because even though the bush variety, they're just too big, and they take up too much space and a lot of things like that. But I'm willing to trade things for watermelons, that's for sure. You know, I have tomatoes coming out everywhere during the peak of summer. So for me, that's kind of key. Everyone should learn that kind of stuff now. Learn how to do it, because it's not as easy. If you've never done it before, it seems pretty easy, but there's usually two big mistakes. One is that people don't realize you have to keep an eye on it as much as you do. And for me, and I've seen this before over and over again, people will try to grow huge gardens, and then it fails, and then they get disappointed, and then they never do it again. Start off small. If it works well, make it a little bigger next year. A little bigger.
Absolutely.
Don't go crazy on the first year.
That's absolutely true, because if you put in an acre or half-acre garden,
that's huge.
You're looking at a huge nightmare of just management. The management of the weeds and the pests and everything is, you're going to be overwhelmed. I mean, around here, we always have to problem with the foxtail and the crabgrass. It just seems like it comes on from nowhere. I swear somebody dumps seeds out of the sky or something, because I can never get it right. Head of it someday. There's another. You got to think that one has to have some commodity for ethanol, right?
What's that, crabgrass?
Yeah.
Yeah, if we could turn crabgrass into something desirable, that'd be great. Speaking of weeds that everyone likes, and I'm sure some of you guys know this, but dandelions. I've told James about this, and he looks at me with that weird look in his eye like I'm crazy. But dandelions taste great if you prepare them properly. Now, you want to make sure they haven't been treated with some nasty stuff, but I would almost say you should grow a little plot of dandelions. I know that's weird. That's kind of crazy, but they are tasty. If you like mushrooms, you will like dandelions. You just take the bloom, the yellow part. Now, you can eat more than that, but that's what I don't do, the leaves or the roots or anything. But the bloom, take them off, soak them in some salt water, get rid of the little stuff in there, and then you basically fry them, just like a mushroom. You dip them in flour, throw them in a pan with oil, fry them up, and they will taste 90% like a mushroom. No, more than that. 99% like a mushroom. A little ketchup if you like ketchup. You're not going to tell them apart. And that is a weed that grows everywhere. There's no problem getting that product. So that's something to file away in the future for, hey, you know, I'm kind of hungry. What can I get? I don't have a lot of money. Hey, do you cut a pack of dandelions out there? That's perfect. And you haven't tried those, right, James?
No, I'm still waiting for my first batch of fried dandelions.
I'll bring them in sometime, I'm sure. Probably not. I'll probably eat them all.
Well, you make a good point there. I look in your yard. There's weeds and stuff. Well, you may think of them as weeds, but actually, if you were to get a herb book or a book about natural plants and stuff, you've probably got a plethora of lettuce-type plants growing in your yard that are healthy, and they're not toxic. They're perfectly healthy plants that you can eat.
That's true. I pretty much stick to the normal plants in my yard, but the dandelions are one that you definitely, everyone has. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. There's more things than that. We don't like GMOs, that's for sure. That stuff's nasty. And I know you and I both have the same opinion, so we won't really be bantering on that, but Monsanto is not our favorite company, by the way. Too many bad things, not enough good.
You know what, Chris? I have to kind of insert in it. Did you know that the greens of dandelions are very good for you, and they're very tasty, and you can cook them like spinach, or you can use them in salad? What you don't know is many of the companies who produce salad for you do use dandelion greens.
Really? I have I've heard that. I just never tried those. I get that bloom, and I love it so much, I never go anywhere else.
And Tom had a dandelion head. So, Tom, what do you think of dandelion? I've never tried the dandelion head, the top of the dandelion.
You mean the flowers?
Yeah.
Actually, I juice the flowers and the leaves. I don't necessarily eat them in salads, but they're great in the juice, and they're actually very cleansing for your liver. So there's multiple benefits from the dandelion.
Well, that's cool. I didn't know that one. See, we learned something
every
day.
That would be something that would be worth trying as
a user. Gentlemen, you guys were talking about gardening earlier. What do you suggest? There's a lot of people that already garden, but what do you suggest for people that have not gardened at all? What is the easiest way to get started? What are the best vegetable plants? And so people can get started and get their confidence up.
That's a good question. You're going to want to grow what you obviously like. So if you don't enjoy tomatoes, you probably shouldn't grow them, although they're very easy to grow. And even if you have no space, you should be able to grow a tomato.
That's an interesting topic because a lot of people don't necessarily like eat tomatoes. Some people eat them like they're an apple. But if you don't like tomatoes, like myself, I still love salsa and obviously pasta. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits from a lot of vegetables in different varieties.
Yeah, you don't have to eat it like an apple, although, as you probably know, I probably do. But, yeah, you can make salsa out of it, which is actually... That's the best salsa if you can get fresh. But the container gardenings, I think you guys might have talked about that a little bit even, but that is the easiest way to start. If you have not started, try a container. It's small. You can maintain it. Make sure you put potting soil, at least in my opinion. I think that you should put potting soil on it because it doesn't compact as much, and it's easier to just keep the plant alive. Key is, with me in container gardening, is you have to be on top of it, not because of weeds, but because of the watering facility. During the summer, August, those hot, hot days, you might have to water it two or three times a day, depending on the heat. And I've tried those little crystals that expand in there, but I still find that it gives you a false sense of security, and you come back and your plant's pretty much toasted. So,
yeah, most vegetable plants require about an inch of water a week, and if you have a raised bed, that water can dissipate very quickly, so it almost amplifies that effect, as you indicate.
There's all such things as making sure you have some kind of drip irrigation.
Right, drip irrigation would be great. If you could put that in, that would be the way to do it. I use raised beds.
You don't have to. They have those little glass balls.
I have seen those. I've never tried that.
If you're doing them in containers, after you've nice and wetted it real well and you fill that up at the same time, you can go back in and change one or two of those little things. It'll give you a delayed reaction for some time. So,
I have not tried those. I've tried the soda bottles before, upside down, which I've had limited effect with that.
It doesn't have a good vent on that, though.
Right.
Soda bottles collapse.
You know, there's another little trick that you can do. I actually go, believe it or not, I actually go to Whole Foods and shop, and sometimes I buy my seed at Whole Foods. You can buy popcorn seed if you get organic seeds from their bulk. You can buy gardening seeds much cheaper from their bulk
right.
section, whether it's beans or corn or whatever, than if you buy it in a little bitty small packet.
Yeah,
you can buy pounds for what a little packet would cost.
Definitely agree with that. That's what we were talking about before with the squash. It was from Whole Foods, so it was kind of one of those things. You kind of got to pay attention to Whole Foods, what you're getting into there. You got to look at the sign above it to see where this came from, so you kind of have an idea of what you're getting when you buy it, and then you can take and harvest the seeds right out of it and go and plant them in your garden.
And we're coming up on a three-minute break. You are listening to Capital Farm on RBNRepublicBroadcasting.org. And the call-in number, I realized Lou said we were taking calls, but we're coming up on the top of the hour. Call-in number is 800-313-9443. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Things are today. The things are today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
That one's loud. Hey, we are back. This is Capital Forum, and you have been listening to the Newswalker Report with Chris and James. And if you had come in late, because we've got a lot of people calling in, no, we were not removed from the air. We're still here. Chris and James were listeners, and they had some solutions. You know, one thing we talk about, solutions-based, finding solutions for things and being an avid part of the news. So that's what they put together, a nice little show, and we're just giving them a chance to bounce off their ideas. While we're on the break, one thing that we were talking about, both Tom, myself, and Sergey, by the way, are online listening, but what we're talking about is, even if you don't like tomatoes or green beans or what have you, there are many things. One is you can barter for other vegetables, or you can barter for money. During World War II, one of the biggest things, I know my husband, before he passed away, he was actually in World War II in Holland, and he bartered with the things that he grew to get things that he needed. He also, well, actually went out and found things such as tar and what have you, and made rubber. Okay, and then he'd make soles for shoes with that rubber, and then he would sell the shoes. He'd get old shoes and re-put new soles on them for to trade with. So you can do a lot and a great deal with the things that you grow or what you can make during any type of government intrusion, a Holocaust, or you're looking at something like a threat such as a volcano, tornado, a tsunami. When things happen and you don't have anything else, it's pretty good to make sure that you have an avenue to make money, to make resources, to keep you and your family not only alive but doing well.
Yeah, now's the time to do that, too. Learn now so that you can do it later. You don't want to be trying to learn how to do that while stress is going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, go ahead, James.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to test your survival, your plan, so to speak. You sit down and you think about it on paper. This is what I would do if this certain situation happened. Well, you should write it down for starters, and then you should test the plan. And by the way, at the time you figure out who your buddy is that you're going to have for a barter, it's not after the incident happened. It's not after a Fukushima kind of thing. It's before. You need to set up your network or get involved with a network of people that can do the same kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Now's the time to prepare for all that, not after the event occurs. And you don't know what the event's going to be. It could be anything. It could be something small or something large. But if you know how to do it, you know, they can't take that away from you. So that's the key.
You know, we've had a lot of feedback in the past about people saying, well, how do I get involved, you know, if I don't have a big enough area to garden in, or they're just totally confused about this whole subject. I recommend just go to a farmer's market or wherever and find some people that are producing food. Go help them out. Go volunteer. There are people like me that do things like this every day, and we would love to have some assistance. We don't necessarily need people we need to babysit, but if we could have people come and help with our farmers, with our vegetable gardening, vegetables, farms, whatever, both people win. You learn valuable lessons that you'll never learn in a lifetime from people that have passed down the traditions forever, and also the farmers get help, hopefully.
That's true.
Well, I definitely agree with that, because I know when I'm being from the farmer's side, if you could get any help, it would be great to have somebody come and help. I mean, if somebody wanted to come pull weeds, it's kind of like a co-op farm at that point. Somebody's going to be help volunteer and hopes to get some kind of fruit from the harvest.
So we're always looking for ways to get rid of the excuses. We need people out there actually doing stuff and getting ready and getting prepared. And we'll be back in 1 minute. We got a 70-second break.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is out to make you pay for it.